Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, and I'm teaching this, all right? I want us to, today's the last day of the 21-day challenge. So I want us, as a church, we want to start releasing our faith towards our annual conference, West Africa Believers Convention. So I want to teach a concept here, but it is something that should be practiced by every Christian in your everyday life. All right, even just coming to church, a way in which you get a spiritual encounter when you expose yourself to the ministry of the Word of God and what to do. So it tells us in Luke chapter 23 here, verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. In other words, all of them were baptized, Jesus also being baptized, but the difference was that, and in addition to that praying, the heaven was opened. And the resultant effect in verse 22 is that the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came, so they saw the shape of God and heard a voice, came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So Jesus, everybody was going at that time. It must have been a great social event to attend the baptism of John. Soldiers were coming. Wealthy people were coming. In fact, John was amazed at some of the people that showed up. And he showed that in his preaching. Who had warned you guys also about this? And he tells us there, so people were coming. Jesus also came. But Jesus came with a different intent. And the process that he applied to that baptism was different from what every other person was doing. And so the resultant effect of that was that the heavens were opened, or the heaven was opened up, and a voice came to Jesus, or they heard a voice, and the shape and the Holy Ghost descended as a dove. So we can all expose ourselves to the same thing. While some people are having a different encounter, all right, with God, even though they are opened up to the same thing. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us this also. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. It tells us from verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, it says, I would not that you should be ignorant how many all our fathers were under the cloud. So all came to the baptism of John. All were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual meat. All drank the same spiritual drink. From that rock, the rock was Christ. Then again, the outcome of it, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. All ate the same spiritual meat. All read the same books. All attended the same conference. All had the same hands laid upon them. But with many of them, all right, there was no fruit. They were overthrown in the wilderness. God was not pleased. And when God is pleased, when he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased about Jesus, he wasn't talking about a state. In other words, you know, you're created in that state. When God says, I'm pleased about somebody, he is talking about what that person does. Because the scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the context in which he used that scripture was that the elders by it obtained a good report, and he listed the elders, and we see they were all doing something. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah did something. By faith, Enoch did something. So everything there, by faith, and those people that pleased God were people that were doers. There were certain things that they were doing. And so when it says about Jesus, my son in whom I'm well pleased, it showed us that everybody was coming there, but Jesus came differently. Jesus observed what we call divine protocol, and he got results from that encounter. People just had water poured on them. Well, they said they repented, right? Some might have returned back to their same lives, but Jesus had a definite encounter there with God. And there is a method to having these encounters with God inside your heart. And two things happen. You see the form of God, and you hear the voice of God inside your heart, giving you clear instructions on what to do about your situation. Now, when we go to Romans chapter 10, that's where I'm going to start teaching this doctrine from, Romans 10 and verse 1. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Where that word knowledge is in a, what you call a definite article sense. In other words, it is not according to the knowledge. So he was referring to some definite knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. So what they were ignorant of was what he called God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, growing up as a Christian, this scripture struck me deep. Because I read about the two sons of the father. Called one the prodigal son, we called one the elder brother. And the elder brother was completely dissatisfied with his father. And it's a picture of a Christian who, after years of quote-unquote serving God, is offended at God. And he said, all these years that I've served you, all these years that I've done things, he said, you have not even celebrated me, all right, with even the smallest from your flock. And you have Christians that I always had this thing inside me that not to, you know, be a Christian or raise Christians that, you know, you feel that we've served God, we've put in all our best there, and we've really never had any qualitative experience, which means that the very things that our heart yearns for, the very things that, you know, we want the Father to do as a demonstration of his love for us, he is not showing up on his own side, right? While we are fulfilling our own side, their own obligations. And so you have people that get offended. And that's why when people begin to attack Christianity on social media and people who have belonged to the church, all right, and it's true, they've been zealous about, all right, the things of God they have, and zeal is always shown by how much activity you are carrying out on the external, but their hearts are void of that knowledge, right? And they didn't have a particular type of knowledge. Then what happens is you expose yourself, right, to getting offended at the very thing that you seem to be very visible with, all right, or at a particular point in your life. So in this church, right now, I've changed in the sense that I believe that I still hold on to those values, but I believe they should be incorporated, all right, with other things. But if there was anything that restrained me from just doing church the way you people do normal church, right, and you just, you know, organize people and all of that, and you say, well, people should just serve, is that I always felt that, look, if people don't understand the fundamentals there of the faith, if people, you know, are not first kingdom-minded and have gotten a hold of the kingdom principle, and they just get involved in that, and, you know, you socialize, you rise up the career ladder, so to speak, of church life and church work, right? And you are doing things on the outside, you can get exposed to getting very hurt at some point in your life. Because you had Mary and Martha, and says, look, she's chosen the good part. You are running around. Jesus was around. It was, Martha was the first person. Oh, Jesus needs to eat. Jesus needs to eat. Then Jesus said, look, come. Right? You are doing many things. You are the face of this entire thing.
Right? But he says she has chosen the good part. She has sat down to listen, right, to the word. She is, that cannot be taken away from her. Now, Jesus understood, and this is why many were overthrown in the wilderness. He looked at them and he knew that one day, even with all this, your service, your brother is going to be healed. Even though you broke the alabaster box on my head, you are going to have a real serious challenge in your life. And will you be in position not to be overthrown? Or is it that, you know, you do all of that and then you expect that, you know, because I broke the alabaster box without really understanding the covenant with God, that my brother shouldn't fall ill or something else there, and then people get exposed and then they get offended, all right, at things. And I've seen people do this. I've said this before. Same people that are close to me who were in fellowship, who are vice president and all of that. But you know on the inside, these people don't get it. Right? And you see them writing things today. Right? And they say things and you know on the inside it's because you didn't really have any real encounters. I mean, God forbid, but if you take my dead body there, I can never speak against, dead or alive, any pastor that has ever invested spiritually in my life. Never. Can't come out of my lips. Reason is this. I got encounters sitting with them. Sitting under their ministry, I got encounters. And therefore, you can't speak lightly of where there has been the workings of miracles. Now, some of these encounters are unknown to the ministers. I'm not sure this here. They are not aware, which is what Jesus said about Peter. He said, flesh and blood had not revealed. I didn't even do it. That there is a direct interaction there. So John didn't even know about the heavens being opened. But the heavens could not open in Jesus' house by himself. He had to show up for the baptism of John, but John was not responsible for the opening of the heavens. But Jesus' prayers was what gave that kind of value to the ministry. Are you following what I'm saying here? So there's the dynamics there in terms of your interaction. Now, Romans 10 here tells us, so it says, they've been ignorant of God's righteousness. And what they were ignorant of was the righteousness of God. And this is very powerful because in Romans 1:16, now it tells us, all right, and the reason why I came strongly to come and teach this, I was thinking about it. Well, last week when I touched on it and everybody was going silent, I said, there is a problem. All right? That means that what we built this church on is unknown by people, or known to people. It says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Which means once you believe in it, the power of God comes in. It says, why is it the power of God? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what was written in exact terms was in Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. Where that faith is not your own faith, the just man, but the faith of Jesus Christ that you are living by. In other words, when Jesus went, all right, and was raised from the dead, the same faith he used on the earth to do those things, he gifted us that faith. He passed that faith across to us. It tells us this, passed it across to us, all right? And it tells us, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified together with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. Which means, where is Christ living now in me? For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of God, or the Son of God, who loved me, which means that life, and gave me that life. And gave himself. So he gave that life. He gave that particular life for me. He gave me his own particular faith there, right, in my own life there. So it tells us in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for everyone who, to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness that is of the law, which was the one they were functioning by. All right? Now, the man that doeth this thing shall live by them. But then when he went to the upgrade of the righteousness that is of faith, which we live by, it says, it speaketh on this wise. So that righteousness of faith starts speaking. It speaks.
Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ. You say that, God, come down. You know, God, let your power, you know, come down. You know, if just, you know, right, he says, God has come down. Or to descend into the deep, he has been raised from the dead. You say, if only Jesus could come back, he has come back. He says, if only could come back and be walking on the streets of Lagos as he was walking on the streets of Jerusalem. He said, he is back and he's walking on the streets of Lagos inside you. He is no longer on the outside. He is inside you, walking on the streets of Lagos. He said, so what saith it? He said, this is the catch. The word is nigh thee. This is how Jesus in you comes alive on the outside. The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and inside your heart. Paul said, that is the word of faith we are preaching. So what are we preaching? That the word of God is near thee, in your mouth and inside your heart. In other words, Paul was simply saying, he got that scripture directly from Deuteronomy. It says there, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that you may do it. So what Paul was saying simply was this. If I preach to you, Paul said, and give you a standard that you can never meet in the flesh, that husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and you look at it and say, well, I can never do this in the flesh, that degree of love. He said, we were not asking you to try to do it. We were telling you to get God's word on your lips. And what we were saying is, no matter how you feel about your wife, no matter how, you know, you said she behaved that morning, now open your mouth. All you've got to do now is put the word there. Let's say your name is Duke Cripples, so that nobody says anything. And she is an creeper. So you say, I Duke Cripples, I love an creeper as Jesus loves me. I will lay down, as you're saying it, you are thinking, God can give it to you. But it says, you just start saying it. And you begin to declare it. It tells us, and here is the mystery. Once you start saying it, after some time, it will get into your heart. Once it gets into your heart, the Holy Ghost will show you the steps to take to love her. Simple. Now listen, what will bring about the fulfillment of this thing is, behave like this, behave like this. So Agrippa too wants to confess concerning Duke. And our dear Duke wakes up at 11 a.m., sleeps at 4 p.m., feeds off everything, and they told her, preached, wives, be submissive to your husbands. She said, you don't understand. If I submit to this guy, we all end up in a ditch. He doesn't know where he's going. He said, but the Bible says that. So he says, so what do I do to submit? We don't know. But we tell you that's what the scripture says. So place it on your lips. When you get it on your lips, it will get into your heart. The method he will show you will not be known to anybody. Nobody will have taught you. You will see this exactly what I have to do. Are you following what I'm saying? For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with an open face, beholding as in a mirror. You see it. You get what I'm saying? Dr. Dollar told me something. He said when he was diagnosed, aggressive form of cancer, 6 months, all right, you might not be around. He said, every waking moment, God's word of healing was on my lips. However, here is the mistake that people make when they're appropriating it. They feel that when I just start confessing it, it's like magic. After some time, it will just work. When you start confessing it, it drops into your heart. Once it gets into your heart, the entrance of the word giveth light. What will come in is light. What this is what you should do in this situation. Then you carry out that particular thing. And when you carry out that particular thing, then you get the manifestation. So he said, God just showed him light, came in. Change what you are eating. The Holy Ghost began to instruct him on what to eat. And has begun to change that. Now that is his own case. Somebody else, all right, we'll get into this, might hear something else when they're confessing healing. Something else drops as the heavens are open over their life. The voice that comes into their heart
is different, all right, from what somebody else heard. So he goes on and says this: the word is neither in thy mouth and inside thy heart. This is the word of faith that we preach. I remember in school, someone told me, he said, well, I've stopped listening to Mike Mundock. I said, why? He said, there's too much knowledge that comes. I said, so what's the problem? He said, don't you know the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected? He said, you are causing more problems for me the more I know. I said, so what are you saying? He said, don't you know the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So it's better I don't know it than to be knowing all these things and carrying that condemnation. But he thought that I know this, so I go and try and do it. You know it, feed on it, and it gets executed inside you. Right? So we go on here. So it tells us, for with the heart a man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all those that call upon him. And I was listening to a friend of mine, all right, who used to be co-leaders in the executive together, and he's in England now, but he was doing this program. He does covenant half-hour prayer or something on Facebook. So I stumbled on one of them, and he said, look, this prayer time we want to have, I think it was on Friday or Thursday, he said, this prayer time we want to have, he said, we just want to take one scripture. He said, I want to repeat the scripture for the next 15 minutes. And the scripture was, the path of the just is as a light that shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. The path of the just. So he said, repeat on Facebook. And all he was just doing was repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. Now, let me tell you what that does to you. If you start saying it, start saying it, start saying it, start saying it. Because that scripture says that your yesterday cannot be better than your tomorrow. What happens is once it enters into you, God shows you what to do that causes your life to take the upward trajectory. Are you following what I'm saying? It just drops on the inside of you. Right? Now, so he says, whosoever shall not be ashamed, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is rich unto all those that call upon him. Then here is the defining statement. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, who is a whosoever? A whosoever is a whosoever. Anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord, it didn't say might, it didn't say, it says shall be saved. If I throw this case up, it shall come down. It's not it might come down, it shall come down. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, if I say I called on the name of the Lord, then I must get saved. Someone says, well, I called on God's name, but I didn't get saved. Now, let me ask this. If when I was coming to this auditorium, I came up here, and I said, can you imagine? I said, what happened? As I just walked in, while the painter was doing his work, the head usher saw me, and, you know, he was playing a prank, and by error, he just took a bucket of water and emptied it right on me as I was walking in, and I just walked up to this platform or to this podium here, directly having a bucket of water emptied on me. You'll look at me and say, what are you talking about? Because whosoever they empty a bucket of water on shall be wet. So if you are not wet, they didn't empty a bucket of water on you. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are not saved from the situation, you didn't call. You said, but I said Jesus, I said Jesus. That doesn't mean to call. I mean, you can be in that room and say, Jesus, Jesus, and we stop. What's happening? Go there, quickly go there. Because we heard a sound of, I'm afraid. Come and help me, people. I'm afraid. It could be a sound of fear, not faith. Now, if you get this, if you understand this, right? Then you get yourself, you see this, on the track to being able to get anything done. And I want to start a series, I'm starting next week on the mind and the building of an enterprise at the end of the year, how to build enterprises. Because I was preaching somewhere, I said, look, it says God's will for us to prosper. I said, we've known that for 30 years. Is how? I said, tell me this, is how? All right? We know it's God's will for us to live long lives. Is how? You start declaring that scripture, will long life really satisfy me? He starts telling you the secret of long life.
I can give you a book written by probably the finest described theologian, the finest theologian that had lived. And he put there, he didn't believe in divine healing because they were evangelicals. He believed in health. He said the first thing that destroys your health is hastiness when you rush to it. And he gave the scriptures. You know, they are theologians. He said when everything, but you know, so in Lagos here, you know, it's very difficult. Because everybody last minute. Are you following me? Last minute. Right? So God can begin to teach you. Just telling you that what you can start doing 6 months before, start. So that it's not 2 weeks, then the stress is taking toll on your body.
Thank you for listening.